This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Stay tuned for our report with the Pope on Sunday and other stories. That will be followed by our feature, The Family. I am John Baptist Tumusiime. Pope Francis was discharged from Gemelli Catholic Hospital on Sunday afternoon and returned to the Vatican, where he will continue his recovery. Before he left the hospital, he appeared with a smile on his face at the balcony of the room where he has been receiving treatment for the last 5 weeks and waved to a group of well-wishers who had gathered in the compound of the hospital. Before imparting his blessing, he spoke a few words, expressing thanks to all and in particular to an elderly woman among the crowd who had brought yellow flowers as a sign of wishing him well. That old woman has attended all the evening prayer services that have been held in the Vatican to pray for the recovery of the Pope. The Holy See Press Office said before appearing on the balcony, Pope Francis had briefly met the staff and management of Gemelli Catholic Hospital and thanked them for caring for him and for other sick people. After leaving the hospital, the Pope was driven to the Basilica of St. Mary Major in Rome, where he delivered flowers to Cardinal Lorandas Macricas, the coadjutor archpriest of the Basilica, to be placed before the icon of the Blessed Virgin Mary in a gesture of gratitude for her protection. Meanwhile, the Holy See released at midday on Sunday the text of Pope Francis's reflection for the Angelus, which focused on the day's gospel, taken from Luke chapter 13, verses 1 to 9, in which Jesus speaks about the patience of God with those who have not yet repented. The Pope said Jesus uses the message of a barren fig tree to invite us to conversion. The patient farmer referred to by Jesus, the Pope explained, is the Lord, who with tenderness cares for our life and confidently awaits our return to Him. The Pope said that during his hospitalization, he had the opportunity to experience the patience of the Lord, which was also reflected in the tireless care of doctors and health workers, as well as in the attention and hopes of the families of the sick. This trusting patience, anchored in the love of God that never fails, he said, is truly necessary for our life, especially to face the most difficult and painful situations. The Holy Father reflected also on the need for peace in the troubled parts of the world. We have a report.
As he never neglects to do, even as we have seen in the most difficult and delicate circumstances, just as the past 1.5 months of hospitalization, Pope Francis renewed his call for peace on Sunday, urging an end to violence in Gaza and in other conflict zones. And he expressed his gratitude for global efforts towards dialogue, especially in the South Caucasus. In a text distributed to journalists by the Holy See Press Office, the Pope referred to the Gospel reading of the day and highlighted the immense suffering of the people in Gaza, as well as all those who across the world suffer the consequences of war. I am saddened, he said, by the resumption of heavy Israeli bombing on the Gaza Strip, causing many deaths and injuries. I call for an immediate halt to the weapons and for the courage to resume dialogue, so that all hostages may be released and a final ceasefire reached. He also decried what he described as the very serious humanitarian emergency in the Strip, warning that urgent commitment is required from the conflicting parties and from the international community. At the same time, the Pope expressed his gratitude for steps taken toward peace in the South Caucasus region, where Armenia and Azerbaijan are moving towards a finalized peace agreement. May this be a sign of hope, he said, praying that other conflicts too may find a path to resolution through dialogue and goodwill. Before concluding, the Holy Father once again placed his trust in the intercession of the Virgin Mary, asking her to accompany the Church and the world on the path of peace. And he invited the faithful to join him in praying for peace, especially, he said, in tormented Ukraine, Palestine, Israel, Lebanon, Myanmar, Sudan, and the Democratic Republic of Congo. I'm Linda Bordoni.
In a related development, the daily rosary prayer for the quick recovery of Pope Francis will continue in St. Peter's Square. Sunday's rosary was scheduled to begin at 18:30 GMT and would be led by Cardinal Mauro Gambetti, the Archpriest of St. Peter's Basilica. Saturday's rosary prayer was led by Archbishop Giordano Piccinotti, the president of the Administration of the Patrimony of the Apostolic See. Meanwhile, on Friday afternoon, Christians belonging to different churches gathered at the parish of St. Lorenzo in Rome for an ecumenical prayer service for the health of Pope Francis and to pray for other sick people. The Vatican Secretary of State Cardinal Pietro Parolini has called for openness in dialogue to end Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Currently, the European Union is discussing strategies for rearmament out of concern that Russia could sooner or later invade and annex other European countries, and therefore there is need to be prepared to fight it. We have a report.
When rearmament takes place, sooner or later, the weapons must be used. The Vatican Secretary of State, Cardinal Pietro Parolin, offered that assessment of several European nations' recent push to rearm as international relations face a profound shift. Cardinal Parolin spoke to reporters on the sidelines of an event organized by the Moroccan Embassy to the Holy See entitled the Ramadan Table Iftar. Asked about the plan to rearm Europe, the Cardinal pointed out that the Holy See has called for a general and controlled disarmament since the First World War. Therefore, he added, we cannot be pleased with the direction things are taking. The Cardinal also responded to a question about ceasefire talks between Russia and Ukraine, noting that it seems Russia has set certain conditions, particularly regarding the verification of compliance with the ceasefire. We hope that no preconditions will be imposed that would prevent the initiation of dialogue, he said. Cardinal Parolin expressed the Holy See's support for the talks and its hopes that they will lead to further negotiations that can bring an end to the war and establish the just and lasting peace for which we have long hoped. Since Ukraine has finally expressed its willingness, he said, we hope that there will also be willingness from the other side to initiate this ceasefire. I'm Devin Watkins.
The Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Port Victoria in Seychelles, the Right Reverend Alain Hero, has invited the faithful to journey with Christ in this Lenten season because he will illuminate their path and lead them closer to God. Bishop Hero made the invitation in his Lenten message. He said Lent is a pilgrimage for each faithful and for the community of the faithful, to renew the way of living with oneself, with God, and with each other. He reminded Christians of the three pillars of Lent, which are praying, fasting, and doing acts of charity, describing them as essential expressions of faith. He, in addition, invited the faithful to find time for quiet reflection in imitation of Christ, who spent 40 days in the desert alone with God, because that will bring them closer to the Almighty. The Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Goma in the Democratic Republic of Congo, the Right Reverend Willy Ngumbi, has reminded priests that they are ordained to serve and to be good examples to the faithful. He made the reminder last Wednesday in Goma in Holy Mass, during which he ordained 15 deacons to the priesthood. He warned that the most common temptations for priests are obsession with power, amassing wealth, and engaging in inappropriate relationships with females. Bishop Ngumbi told the new priests that alone they cannot fight temptation. The strongest weapon in the battle against the devil, he said, is prayer, and encouraged the priests to pray every day because this will help them to remain firm in their commitments and to better accomplish their mission. Reports from Rwanda say Caritas is organizing football or soccer initiatives in different dioceses to raise awareness about positive parenting, focusing on the roles required of fathers in the growth and development of their children. After each football match in which young people and sometimes their parents have participated, church and local leaders are invited to deliver messages about parenting, and the participants are given time to ask questions. According to reports, two dioceses have already had these encounters, and plans are underway to organize similar encounters in other dioceses. In a report issued last week, Caritas Rwanda said such sports initiatives aimed at cultivating responsible parenting can also help in lessening issues such as school dropouts, domestic violence, and behavior problems in the community. The Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Kayanga in Tanzania, the Right Reverend Vincent Rweyongeza, has advised young people against hurried engagements that originate from virtual encounters and warned that marriage from such situations do not last. Bishop Rweyongeza was speaking last Wednesday in Bukoba during the celebration of the 25th anniversary of the ordination to the bishopric of the retired auxiliary bishop of Bukoba, the Right Reverend Paul Kilaini. He said many young people today meet online through Facebook and other social media and begin a relationship without knowing each other well, and in a few days they begin to live together. He explained that marriage is a lifelong relationship that requires people to know each other well before they commit themselves to start a family, and advised young people to take time to study who they intend to marry. The Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Lira in Uganda, the Right Reverend Sanctus Lino Wanok, has called upon the clergy to be mindful of transparency and accountability in the management of the finances and the properties of the church. The bishop was speaking a few days ago in Lira at the opening of a one-day training workshop on financial literacy and business management that the diocese had organized for its priests. The training was carried out by a team of financial experts from the Catholic Centenary Bank, which is spread in all parts of Uganda. The training focused on the current business environment, emotional intelligence, financial resilience, management, governance, and business sustainability. Bishop Wanok emphasized that successful pastoral work depends on many factors, one of which is efficiency in the management of the church's resources. You are tuned to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
And now our feature. Family. Church in Africa as a family of God. Its people, challenges, values, and hopes.
My name is Father Paul Samasumo with your program Family. Zambia's Monze Diocese recently celebrated 120 years of Chikuni Mission. The mission is one of Zambia's oldest, established by the French Jesuits, led by Father Joseph Moro in 1905. To talk about this milestone, we have from Monze Diocese, Father Cletus Mwila.
I am Father Cletus Mwila, a priest of the Diocese of Monze in the southern part of Zambia. And currently I'm director of the pastoral center called St. Kizito that houses meetings for the diocese and beyond, houses retreats. It's also a place that houses developmental programs as we insist on integral evangelization, now St. Kizito becomes the center that spearheads the synodality that Pope Francis has invited all of us, the church that leaves no one behind.
Father Cletus, you recently had this big celebration in Monze Diocese at Chikuni Mission, and also present at that celebration was Zambia's head of state, President Hakainde Hichilema. It was a big event. Tell us more about this celebration.
We had a celebration, of Chikuni Mission that became 120 years since its foundation by a Jesuit priest, Father Joseph Moreau, who came from France. While he worked a little bit in the southern part of Africa, in southern Rhodesia then, he continued his missionary journey and found himself among the people of Chikuni in the area called Monze.
But exactly who was Father Moreau, and why is he special and a revered person among the Tonga people of Southern Province, more especially the Catholics?
Father Moreau truly is revered figure among the Tonga people of Southern Province in Zambia, especially the Catholics, because the number of years that he spent, that will span from 1905 to 1949 when he died. He lived among these people, introduced them to evangelize to Christian faith, but insisted on integral evangelization, where Father Moreau realized while these people were rich, they had cattle, but they were still suffering from hunger and other difficulties because they didn't know how to use the oxen to grow food. So he introduced an ox plow, the first one ever to enter the northern part of Rhodesia, what Zambia was called then. And from that introduction of the plow, it would lead to a revolution of agriculture in Zambia. And the Batonga people later will be known as a people that fed the country because their area became the food basket of Zambia.
Father Cletus, it has been said many times that the success of Chikuni Mission depended on the collaboration and the contribution of the local people there. Chief Monze, the traditional ruler, donated the land upon which Chikuni Mission still stands. It's a huge chunk of land. But also, historically, there are these men who were, at the time of Moreau, young men who collaborated almost the entire of their life with Father Joseph Moreau and the Jesuit missionaries of the area. Tell us about these men and why they are so special to the Catholic faith in Monze Diocese.
Father Moreau, when he came in 1902 and while there, he was able to engage the local people, and within 2 months that he stayed among them in 1902, he convinced them to allow him to go back to Southern Rhodesia with 4 of their boys, because the oldest was 14, who would become his collaborators later in the names of Hatton Tola, Jahaliso, Binya, and Jojo. Father Moreau took keen interest to become friends of these young people because from them he would learn Chitonga, the language they spoke, and he would teach them Christianity. He would evangelize them. So he went back with them to the Southern Rhodesia where he had come from, and finally he settled in Empanden in the Bulawayo Archdiocese today. And while he was there, he deepened the faith of these young people while they helped him to learn the language. And 3 years later, they returned back to Chikuni, where he would found the mission that has just celebrated 120 years since its inception.
It seems to me this is a push to revive Chikuni Mission, not only as a center of evangelization and faith formation, but also of development and cultural activities. How do you see the mission in 5 years' time from today?
Yes, the celebration of 120 years comes as a revive a reviving spirit for the area. And so therefore, in the next 5 years, with things lined up to prepare ourselves to celebrate 125 years, I see quite a load that is going to happen. Re-evangelizing the people, insisting on the synodal church that has emerged, involvement of everyone, regardless of their class, listening to one another on the journey of faith, as we are invited today. But also, I see integral evangelization renewed, revived among the people who, over the years, because of the turbulences of poor economy here and there in the country, have been affected badly. I see them coming back and insisting on becoming a people that improve their livelihoods through the various interventions that have been lined up in the next 5 years, so that at 125 we'll celebrate the Jubilee of Chikuni Mission. Among those activities that will help change the mission will be the irrigation schemes, where the local people participate, the cooperatives, one of them probably reviving the Chikuni jam factory that had been there before, but also to reintroduce the credit union savings that had been there before, but they went in the doldrums. Reviving of the ranch, rearing cattle by the Jesuits among the local people where they are today. The improvement of the road network in order that the local people can take their foodstuffs to the market without many difficulties. Also insisting on education, that has been a great contribution by the Jesuits among these people, improving the health care of the local people, to insist that people will have their faith renewed, and once again, they can be determined followers of Christ by taking responsibility themselves, improving their faith life, insisting on promoting local vocations among the people of Chikuni and places around Chikuni. These are some of the things that I see coming, engaging the local people and the faith vis-a-vis culture, insisting on enculturation of the faith, faith formation that does not speak to the culture lacks merit, and culture that does not respond to the faith formation will lack merit.
Father Clendas, your own apostolate, your current apostolate, is one of hosting retreats, faith, various faith formation programs, development programs, and so on. Is there a link between St. Kizito Pastoral Center, where you are now as director, with Chikuni Mission under the Diocese of Monze's pastoral plan and vision?
The link between St. Kizito's, whose center I'm responsible for at the moment, and Chikuni Mission goes back many years, when the Jesuits who founded Chikuni Mission, among them one was appointed bishop of the new diocese of Monze that has been in existence over 60 years. So Bishop James Koboi was appointed and he became Bishop of Monze, and Chikuni remained a mission where the Jesuits arrived to come and evangelize the local people. Under the leadership of Bishop James Koboi, an Irish Jesuit, in 1967, Bishop Koboi decided through his consultation that he would put up a pastoral center, which I'm director at the moment. The linkage is that this pastoral center would be a place where local men that time would be trained to be catechists, local evangelizers, men that would preach the gospel among their own people. But at the same time, the same center would be a place of retreat. We all know that the Jesuits, among the many things that they do, is preaching and directing retreats. So St. Kizito would be a place where retreats would be preached, formation of catechists would be done, and also empowerment of the lay people in the diocese would find a place where to take place. St. Kizito would be a place where the pastoral vision would be actualized in terms of formation, and thereafter people would go back to the parishes where they come from in order that they can put into practice the envisioned pastoral vision of the diocese. This is the linkage between St. Kizito and Chikuni Mission. And so even St. Kizito now, with renewed Chikuni Mission, as we celebrate the 120 years into the 125 years, St. Kizito will not be spared from renewal. And above all, it is going to benefit and become a center of synodality, not only for the Diocese of Monze, but for the people in Zambia. Linkages between major seminaries, linkages between St. Kizito and the university in Zambia, linkage between St. Kizito and parishes, a place where lay people will find life, where lay people will receive formation. And currently, we are thinking of beginning a program that we are going to call Pastoral Leadership for the Synodal Church.
Father Clenas, thank you very much for giving us your time.
You have been listening to Family with Father Paul Samasumo.
You have been listening to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio, and I am Johnny Baptist Tumusime. In our next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our features, Echo of the African Synod and the Millennium Appointment. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.